Blog Talk Radio.
Enough is Enough, Save Our Children, Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, founder, and president of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Tonight's topic is single fathers raising their children. As you know, in America, there's a very, very low rate of African-American fathers who are raising their children single-handedly. Tonight, we're going to have a discussion about it. Fathers who are raising their children. Single fathers in society, do some women respect or resent single fathers raising their children? Before I introduce our guest for tonight, I would like to let you know I'm a single father myself. So tonight's show should be very interesting, very enlightening. Open your ears, open your mind, sit back, relax. If you want to call in, the call-in number is 425. I met him recently, and it's a pleasure to have him on our show tonight. And without further ado, let me introduce you to Brother Calvin Washington out of Baltimore. How you doing tonight, Calvin?
I'm fine. Good evening. How are you?
I'm good. It's a pleasure to have you on, sir.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
How long you been a single father?
I've been a single father for going on 5 years now. Three sons. Was married, that dissolved, and had three younger children, and they've been with me. I'm getting ready to graduate, the oldest one from high school, in just a couple of days.
Okay, say that again. I couldn't hear you. I don't know.
Okay.
The connection got cut off for a second. Say it one more time. I'm sorry.
Okay, been a single father for the past 5 years, and I've had three sons after marriage resolved. Then I became a single father, had got custody of them, and my oldest son is getting ready to graduate from high school just in a few days. I'm not hearing you, brother.
Okay, where are you located at? Are you in a house or something? Because I can hear you, and then you get cut off.
Yeah, I'm
know,
hearing that too.
The location of where you're at, I don't know.
Okay, I can move around.
But you're going in and
I'm
out.
Getting it too. Mm-hmm. I'm getting that too. I'm not hearing you at all every now and then. I'm moving around. You let me know.
Okay,
can
I
hear me
hear
now?
You pretty well. Yeah, I can hear you pretty well.
Okay, it's out again. I'm not hearing you at all right
hear
now.
Hear me, Calvin?
Okay, I'm back.
Okay, yeah, go ahead, as you were saying.
Okay. Did you ask me a question that time?
No, I was asking you to repeat what you had said. You said you've been a single father for about 5 years, correct?
That's correct. What I said was I got custody of my three sons, and I'm getting ready to graduate the oldest one in a few days.
Wow.
I've got a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old also. Okay, we are having some difficulties here.
Right, there's some difficulties with the connection. I don't know. I don't know if it's the internet radio itself, but I know you're going in and out. Jesus. At the moment, I can't do anything on my end. I think maybe it might be your location, wherever you're located at. That's why you're going in and out.
Okay. I'm sitting... I'm pretty high. I'm sitting up on a hill. So let's just keep rolling and see what happens.
Okay. So what made you decide to make a stand?
Well, wow. You know, the thing about it is when you have a family, you're married, you have a family, in my situation, I'll just be specific, in my situation, I was rolling pretty good, family man, enjoying it, responsible, working. Things took a turn. I didn't feel like it was necessarily fair that since everything I was doing was for my family, that I needed to actually do without my family. But in my specific situation, it was a situation where my wife decided that she wanted to walk away, and she walked away from all of us. Okay if she had walked away from me, but she walked away from the sons too. So it did turn into a situation, a short court battle. And I had a Caucasian lady judge that granted me custody. And I've been rolling with that. I had to have a reevaluation after a one-year period, and that took bringing them back. I did this in North Carolina. I'm in Baltimore,
but
so I
really
took them back to North
story.
Carolina. Okay, I took them back to North Carolina for the judge to do her evaluation. I had to bring report cards and, you know, some letters from teachers and principals, that type of thing. Well, she looked at the report cards and said that she didn't need to see the children, and she made her final determination that they would be placed with me, me being the custodial parent. That's
did you have any experience of?
Okay, I'm not hearing you. It's blinking out again.
Raised yourself as coming up, you know, as a child.
Okay, I didn't hear the first part.
Okay, I was asking.
Yeah,
did you come out of a? Did you hear me?
I did. I came out of a two-parent home, youngest of three children, and that's all that was around me. I wasn't the first of the extended family to be divorced, but the first within my family, and that was a little different. But, yes, mother and father was there. Father was a minister, always on duty, great example, and I had that with me. So I felt like it was only fair that I passed it along. I didn't feel like it was necessarily fair for someone to be selfish about it and maybe think that I had no rights in the situation. So that's why I fought for it.
Wow.
And, you know, three sons, you know, we have to understand that it is very important for fathers to be there. They need us. That's the example. Well, we're not perfect. Definitely we get a lot more instilled within us if we have a man around. It doesn't necessarily have to be our father, but someone that loves us, that we can respect and learn things from. Something that we can't necessarily learn from women, how to be a father, how to be a man, you know, those type of things.
Right. You know, I, being a single father, you know, I'm only raising one child myself. We're talking about three sons. That's got to be some kind of job sacrifice, I mean, on.
Can you hear me, Nick?
I mean, how do you do it? Really, how do you do it? Because I can't even imagine raising three.
Well, you know, it is. It's very difficult. First, at the initial stage, you know, you're dealing with some pain and things from the relationship. You've got to make adjustments. Moving to a place where you have no relatives within, you know, hours. It was very difficult having three. It went to a schedule of sleep of maybe 4 hours a day because I did have an 8-hour job. And I don't like to cook. I'm here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Good.
Okay. I really don't like to cook. That's something I had to do, you know, two meals a day and preparing lunch and making sure that clothes were ready, homework's done. My kids have maintained honor roll throughout that time. And been active in sports, been active in church, some plays, school activities, extracurricular activities, it's as well as music lessons. So it's a thing that they became my life. Everything I did was for them. And I don't regret the sacrifice. I still got some more time to do it. It is. It's a very difficult job. Hats off to the other brothers that are doing it, and definitely hats off to the sisters that are in that situation. But at this point, I have not run into very many single fathers to actually have a bond with. You just run into them here and there. Now, one thing I will tell you that I was a little bit disappointed about, my coming up, even before I got married as a youngster, you would always reach out to those sisters in high school that had children and whatnot, even on up until adulthood. But our situation was different. We really did not experience anyone really reaching out to us. We were, and especially in Baltimore, where we didn't know each other, know anyone, it was a little difficult, you know, to get a support group, forge some good friendships. Every now and then, I think I was a single father for almost 7 months before I actually let someone talk me into letting them come over and spend the night so I could have a night to myself. So it is. It's a tremendously huge sacrifice.
Thanks, Shane. Brother keeps getting cut off. Calvin, can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay. Well, something is going on. I don't think it's you or I. I think it's the internet radio itself. Something is going on, and I have not a clue here. But
okay.
How old are your sons?
Youngest one is 10, fourth grade, going to fifth. Next one is 12, going to the seventh grade. And the oldest one is graduating high school. He's 18 years old. We are. I can't hear you at all, brother. You there?
I'm here.
I'm not hearing you. We don't have a good connection at all.
We got a bad connection here going on. I just put in for some support to find out what's going on because I know my phone is good, and I guess where you're located is good, so I don't know what's causing it to keep going in and out. Because I truly want to hear your story. But we're going to keep...
You're out again if you can hear me. I can't hear you at all.
How do you keep them, you know, away from the negativities of the neighborhood?
Well, you know, fortunately, we've been able to reside in fairly decent neighborhoods. You know, you always have an element, whether you can see it or not. It may not be apparent, but it's just been a thing of keeping these guys busy. Education. I've been talking to even my daughters from the time that they could understand what I was saying. I've been talking to them and also making the example because there's really nowhere that I go that they can't go. So by keeping my business clean, keeping myself, you know, disciplined, it helps a lot. They I've had no trouble, no problems, and I thank God for that. That's been a blessing. It hadn't been easy, but it's been a blessing. But it's just a matter of keeping open communication, setting the example. You got to set the standards. You got to tell them the rules, and they have to follow. It's as simple as that.
That's right. The rules are not negotiable.
I don't hear you at all now, Tom.
Raising a girl, this is my first time out. You know what I mean? She's not my first child.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the first time I'm doing it single. And
right.
There's a lot of joy. There's a lot of struggle. You know, times, yes, I get tired. I get aggravated. You know, but even though with all of that, just to watch them grow and develop, this is a
broken up, man. Can't hear you. Brother Nick,
and
can you hear me?
Up, yeah, I can hear you. You know,
okay.
Our children didn't ask to come into this world and to step
right.
up and to do the right thing because that's basically what it is. Doing the right thing for your child, you know,
right.
This is not to get a medal or anything like this. It's just doing the right thing, period.
That's,
you know,
exactly.
And there's a lot of shortages. There's a big shortage of single fathers raising their kids. It's the fathers that are not there who get all the publicity. You
right.
know, and we need to change that.
Right.
We need to change that. Because, see, like, you and I are not the only single fathers. There's a lot of single fathers out here getting down for this.
Right.
But the attention is always put on the guy who's not doing nothing for his child.
Right.
And that,
that's right.
That's wrong. That's wrong.
It is.
You know, our children need us, especially in the time. Especially with boys, you know. Being that structured man, that example of what to do and what not to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like what you talked about, putting principles and morals in their lives.
Right,
and
exactly.
It's not negotiable. It's not negotiable.
Right.
See, that's, there's no compromise in that, you know, and that's the way, for me, it should be. You know, today,
right.
too many parents, believe that. Not if
right.
I'm on top of, no, you cannot watch that, or no, you cannot listen to that, or no, you cannot go over there, or no,
right.
you can't hang out with them, you know?
Right.
Those things are the four, not because I'm being mean, this is to help them understand what's good for them and what's not good for them.
Right, because we have to prepare them for real life situations, and, you know, it's no secret. You know, when you have a government that's spending more money for building penitentiaries than they actually do in education, and knowing that these young black boys, young black men are commodities, this is how they make money. The system wants them consumed into, you know, to be incarcerated. Even the black-on-black crime, all of that crime that's going on with them, killing each other, going to jail, detention, all of that. See, that's what we need to try to keep them away from that, because that just
exactly.
sucks them in and it draws a life. You're absolutely right on that. Absolutely right.
You keep going in and out.
Yeah, I'm going in and out. I can't hear you.
Right,
I'm
can you hear me? I got a couple of callers on the line. I know
okay.
one of them is Dr. Edgar Scott. I'm going to let him in. Right now.
Okay, I'm
Doctor,
on.
Are you there?
I'm
you?
Here. I'm doing fine. I'm listening to my brother Calvin. Go ahead.
Yeah,
I'm here.
You got a bad connection. I can hear you clear, Doc.
Okay.
Hey, Doc, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good, brother Calvin. How are you?
I'm okay. Listen, I'm going to ask if you want to give your take on it, because you always have a powerful word dropping knowledge on us all the time, and let me see if I can call back in if that might correct the problem.
Okay, try that,
okay.
Calvin.
Okay, I'm going to drop off.
All
right. Quick.
Okay.
Okay. Hey, I just dropped in, so tell me what you were talking about.
Well, Calvin was, you know, he was sharing his story about raising his. He's got the right formula. The way he's raising them, there is no compromise. He's not compromising no morals, no principles, no spirits, and it's not negotiable. And he's raising these boys, and I admire that. I
that's
really
exactly
admire
right.
that. He's back on the line. Let me see if he's got a better connection.
I'm back, fellas.
Yeah, I got
okay.
you. I see. Yeah. So go ahead, Calvin. I can hear you.
Okay, well, you know, now Dr. Scott is one of my mentors. Just newly created a relationship, and I have talked to him about a few things that I've been concerned with. He's been very helpful, but that's been the situation. You know, you're constantly looking. Well, you're running into situations. You get hit with some questions. There may be questions about relationships or. You know, what happened, that type of thing. You know, you do the best you can in answering them. If I can't give them an answer, I try to find out what's going on with it. But the primary thing has been education. Education is key. So we get them educated. We stay, you know, like the schools that my sons go to, they know me. They see me.
Oh,
frequently.
Great. You're involved in the school.
Yeah.
So you're an involved parent.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they see me. I'm, you know, a member of the PTA. I participate. I peep in the classroom windows. You know, they don't even know I'm coming. Come and sit down and eat lunch with them. You know, it's a good experience. Like you said, it's just great watching them grow. And then what is really great when they come to you and they'll tell you, you know, I appreciate this and I appreciate that as they get older. And then other people will tell you, it's, you know, like at church, you know, really like the way your boys dress. You know, I have them suit and tie, and they're not going in. Not that it really matters how you go into the house of worship, but I do give them that experience, let them learn how to wear their pants on their waist with a belt.
That's what I'm talking about. That pants hanging off the tail don't work.
Oh, yeah. No. I am old school. I'm 49 years old, so I am a little bit conservative and old school. I had a neighbor
you're
to tell me.
You're giving him self pride. Yeah. And
right.
Because these kids today, nobody's teaching them about self pride.
No,
you know,
you're absolutely
that pants
right.
hanging off your tail, I don't care what anybody say. It's not
mm-hmm.
right. It don't look right at all.
But that's an unfortunate piece of the puzzle because, you know, that's been sensationalized. That's what they want to do. A lot of parents feel like, okay, well, so they won't get picked on, you know, we'll buy these $150 tennis shoes. We'll let them dress like this. It's junky. It's just junky. The look is not good. But, you know, they soon learn when they go in and try to get a decent job, you know, and that type of thing. You'll get, they'll look at you and stereotype you and judge you in a minute. And that's not really fair, but that's what we allow them to do. And we want to be their friend. See, my kids know. They know that, look, I am your friend because I'm going to make sure you're taken care of and make sure you're on the right track. You don't have to be my friend. That's not where the responsibility lies. But as long as I'm responsible, these are the rules. This is what you're going to do. And if you don't, there are consequences and repercussions, as the saying goes. And that's what it has to be. I mean, I don't mind. I swing the belt. My oldest son, he's been a big boy for a while.
I haven't heard that one in a long time.
Yeah, but my oldest son, he's been a big boy for a while. Yeah, he's 6'3", 380-pound football-playing, oak tree-looking kind of fellow, you know. And I remember the last time I had to take him down. And I took him down maybe 3 years ago. He was 100 pounds lighter. I did it, and he got the message. Now, however, I did have to get some rest after that, but I don't mind doing it because that's our responsibility. You know, we're tasked with that. That's you know, one of the things that we have to be accountable for. And not
right,
just
because it's a reflection on us. It's a reflection
right.
on us, the
right.
parent, the father,
right.
the mother.
Right.
Hold on a second, Calvin. I got 6, 7, 8, 5, 0, 8.
Can you hear me? I'm not hearing anything right now.
Please.
Yeah,
Identify yourself as I welcome you in. Hello,
okay,
caller, are you there?
Yes, sir. This is Reginald Drummer out of Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome,
like
Reggie. Thanks for calling.
Yes. You guys are definitely dads on duty. I commend you both for your strength and your resilience. And, you know, that's something we just have to spread those stories and put those stories into the media a lot more so other guys, it almost makes you want to have some kids so you can do what you guys are doing.
Right.
Y'all making it all good, man. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I know it's a lot, but what I'm saying, when men see this and then the competitive spirit in us motivates other men to want to go to the schools and see what their sons and daughters are doing, you know,
yeah.
So this is good.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm loving
yeah.
this conversation here.
That's
the stuff
right.
that's not talking about.
Tony, go ahead.
Well,
one of the things.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No. One of the things that you're hearing from Calvin. Okay. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you clearly, yeah.
Yeah, one of the things that Calvin is giving you, if you notice with Calvin's spirit and his energy, he's giving you old school, what he grew up with that's really relevant today that we have forgotten, and it seems like there are lots of us that have grown up with it, that have put it to task, that are using it, and somehow the media has forgotten us. That's downplayed. Now, I brought up two girls. They grew up with it. Now, I'm a stepdad. Now, I don't know what step means.
Right.
Step up. That's called step up. That's what that means.
Now, I don't know what that means, but they didn't have any choice, okay? Because that's what they got. The way Calvin are bringing up his kids, that's what they got. There was no choice. There's no choice in the matter. This is what you get. Now, they are grown, and they love their daddy, okay?
Yeah.
Because
right.
That's what they got. There is no choice, okay? I didn't try to be their friends. Here's the rules. Like dress. Here's a dress code. Now, you weren't going to dress like a floozy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Here's the dress, and here's the dress code. I mean, I work with kids now. It's like young ladies telling me that they come in at 10 o'clock at night and that sort of thing. And they say, well, Dr. Scott, what time did your daughters, you know, I work at a middle school, and they say, well, we come in at 12 o'clock at night. I say, I need to tell you something. Old saying. When the sun comes down, you're in the house.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
And that's just the way it is. Now, I still, even now, I mean, my daughters, when they would come home from college, and they said, what time do we have to be home? I said, now, your mom and I go to bed early, okay? So you're going to be home by 12 o'clock. That's all it is. I don't care that you stay out to 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Not here. You're not
right.
You're not at your place now, okay? Here's the rules. When I go home now, my dad, he's the only one living now. When I go home, now I'm home before 11 o'clock now. That's just the way it is, okay?
Right.
Right. The party's just getting started at 11 o'clock. What you talking about?
Well,
hey,
I don't care if it is or not. I'm home, okay?
I used to use that same line with my parents, and the thing was, is okay, if you're not here at that time, you will not be coming in. And, you know, that might be a situation where you might have to find somewhere else. Right,
yeah.
Right, exactly. You know, there are some things, as my mother would tell me, my father, grandparents, you know, right is right, good is good. You can throw it into the ocean. When it gets to the other side or wherever it's going, it still is what it is. So
that's exactly
the thing that we should not have compromised. But, you know, there are other forces in place with that, too. You know, we can really go deep with it, but, you know, the whole separation thing, it's gotten to a point where, as slaves, let's go back. As slaves, that was the idea. You take the man out of the picture. Okay, well, that leaves the woman to have to depend on themselves and those around them, and including the master, if that was the case. So we were diminished. But we have to understand that we really aren't. You know, it's in our mind. It's a thing that we think. And Dr. Scott, he's challenged us all the time. You know, change your belief system. Change your value system. Challenge it. You know, what was good then is good now. We would see a lot more better results. When I see a young father with or without his wife or significant other, hopefully wife, I'm old school, I'll let him know, hey, man, I really appreciate seeing this. I'm doing it now. I want you to know whatever comes up. You know, there are people out there that can understand you. It's a little harder for us. I mean, women, they reach out differently than we reach out, which is another issue. We kind of have to come together a little bit better than we do, because there are many times, I mean, I'm tired just dead tired, really don't have much of a life. I'm just getting to the point now as my son has gotten older, I can depend on him to cook. They respect each other. I can go out and do my music thing. I might even be able to do a date every now and then, but that's very rare. I like being with the guys. You know, they've taught me how to learn how to have more fun again, relearn fun, as well we trade off. Okay, this is what you do as a man. These are the things that you do. And they seem to be getting it, and I'm happy about that. But I do. I encourage young brothers, especially when I hear them say, oh, yeah, I got a child, so-and-so, but, my baby mama, this, that. No, it's not about your baby mama. It's about you. You get your job. You save your money. You go in because you do have to go through the system sometimes. You got sisters that don't want, they rather have this guy and this guy come in, and it may not even be that extreme. But they allow them to do things, but then the biological father who wants to do something is not allowed to. And then we get to, again, a remnant of what used to be is if you don't pay your child support, then you get locked up. Okay, well, you're behind in your child support. You get locked up, you lose your job, or you lose that money. What are you supposed to do? You know, it's the thing of perpetuating the
cycle.
We have to unify and overcome that. We have to conquer that. That's all there is to it. And then there are, you know, you've got some that it doesn't matter. Some baby mama, it just doesn't matter. They don't want you to be a part, so they do what they have to. I participated in a forum a couple of years ago out of Philly. We had some politicians, some congressmen, some judges there. There was one gentleman there, I believe he may have been a city planner or something. It was unbelievable, his story of what he had to go through. Just at the drop of a hat, his ex-wife could just call and have him arrested, picked up. That jeopardized his job. You know, his child will grow up to maybe read about that or hear about that if the kids don't tease him about it. See, we're not really fair with each other. So it's a matter of really having to fight and struggle every inch of the way. And you cannot complain about it because it's about the kids. It's not about me. It's not about the mother. It's about the child. We need to get them up so that they can be productive. We want them to at least be productive, at least be self-sustaining. And that's
right.
The key point. That it is. So it's very important.
That's exactly right. And what Calvin is saying is think about what your folks did for you. What they told you was, I want you to be better than me.
Me.
That's
right.
What they told you.
That's right. That's right. That's right.
That's what they told you.
Work.
I bet you everybody on this line, I bet you your folks told you, I want you to be better than me. I think about it. Go back. That's what your ancestors were telling you. If you go back from slavery, your ancestors were telling you, I did this so that you can be better than me.
I wanted to be a hoodlum, Doc. I wanted to be a hoodlum. You know, I went to the school of hard knocks. Now, I had a lot of people pointing me in the right direction. I was just rebellious. I was raised by a single parent. You know, my father was a man in the service for 20 years. You know, him and my mom, you know, they were separated for whatever, you know. So, you know, mistakes that I made, I'm not going to make with my children.
Yeah.
You know, the mistakes that my father made with me, you know, I'm not going to make with my children.
Yeah, exactly.
I think that's what makes, what makes me the father that I am and makes good fathers, period. You know, when you overcome your past and say, you know what, this is what I want. You know, I use my own experience. You know, and it works. It works. You know, there's a lot of benefits in what I do. I have a lot of support. You know, people admire me. I remember the first Christmas I had with having my daughter. She was just over 2 years old.
You're fading out.
On the door. And
yeah.
They were my neighbors with gifts, you know, and I was like kind of overwhelmed, like, wow, you know. And my neighbors told me, they said, listen, we're watching you, and you're doing a good job. And we admire that, you know. And, man, you know, I know that could only be God. You know, that's a blessing
yeah.
from God. You know, I know that. You know, I really feel like when you do right, for somebody, if you expect and thank you, don't worry about thank you, because God will bless you for it. And that's how
yeah.
I feel as it has been for my daughter and myself. You
right.
know, we
yeah.
have been blessed.
Yeah.
You know, yes, well, I've had my struggles. I heard Calvin talk about the dating, the going out. Yeah, I miss that sometimes. Yeah, sometimes I want my own time. But guess what? You know, I get over it. You know, I don't let it ruin
right.
my day, my night, my life.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you
yeah.
don't let it affect your kids.
Yeah. But one thing
you know,
I want to say. Go ahead.
Yeah, so when it's time for that time will happen. But in the meantime, I'm riding with the joy of raising my child, man. And I'm telling you, words cannot describe the joy of watching
exactly.
your child grow, the learning, the brightness. You know, I don't know. They are amazing at times. The stuff that they'll sit down and talk to you about you.
Yeah.
Hello?
Not involved
yeah.
in their children's life because they're missing it.
Yeah. And Tony, you and Calvin are saying some things that really bring on some positive things that a lot of brothers we don't get a chance to hear about.
Right.
You know
exactly.
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And one of the things that Kay and I have been doing for almost 30 years, as we've done our research and looked at, in particular, black males, the generations that we've looked at them, and I've gone back to, in my own life and looked at one of the things I've looked at and we've come up with in challenging our belief systems, because I came from, in essence, a single family. My mom, my biological father, tried to repopulate
wow.
the world by himself. Okay? He tried to do it single-dictedly, okay? And as I looked at that behavior, okay, I never had any children, okay? And my mom remarried when I was about 15, all right? But my grandparents and my mom raised me, so I had good parenting.
Right.
But as I went back and looked at that, I had to look at the modeling. So I had a chance to get good modeling, and so I got heavily into martial arts to deal with the anger. And as I looked at how I grew up, I looked at black males and bopping around and having women and having children was encouraged. I looked at on the block, they would talk about that. They would talk about the brothers that had kids and they didn't take care of them and that sort of thing. And even when I go home now, some of people in my family, some of the brothers have, and my relations, they have 6, 7, 8 kids and they don't take care of them. That stuff is still done and it's talked about and it's passed on. It's been passed on. So as I look
right.
at us, now, this behavior has been, in essence, passed on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I look at this thing from a behavioral perspective now, and I've said, wow, we in essence have hurt ourselves, and then I go back
and I look at it from a perspective of slavery now, it makes sense to me, because when we came over here on this ship, we as black men had to see the black women raped in front of us, and there was nothing
right.
we could do.
No, right, right.
And then
right,
the
God.
Anger, and then the anger that we had, there was nothing we could do with it except take it inside. And then they separated us by age, by color, and they separated our language and did all of this terrible stuff to us. And then we passed it on, and then we took the oppression and internalized it. And now we have internalized oppression. And so why are we amazed at where we are right now until we relearn to, number one, heal ourselves and do it differently?
Mm-hmm.
And so now my focus now is to deal with brothers like Tony and Calvin and to say, let's start modeling this behavior for our people. Let's start dealing with the anger. Let's start dealing with healing ourselves. We have to heal the brothers and the sisters and learn how to heal the brothers and the sisters if we're going to change this system.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
Because it's systematic. We have learned to do the stuff that we do now. I had to learn to deal with where I'm at now, learn to say, huh, I wonder why I never had any children. Because I was afraid, man. It's like, man, I don't want to do this to kids.
Right.
You know,
you know
what I'm
saying?
Yeah.
You know what, Doc?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you was talking about, the, you know, the man that has a lot of children, you know.
Yeah.
Let's say a lot of children by different women. Not.
Yeah. Yeah.
Children, children now that are in these gangs or out on the block or killing each other.
Yeah.
You know, these cats that don't have any fathers, that are out there, most of them don't have fathers or any father
yeah.
figures.
Right.
They
yeah.
have no positive example to tell them, listen, you don't have to live like that. There's a better way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's right.
Exactly.
There's
now,
got nobody
that.
To tell them that.
Yeah,
that's and,
right.
And Tony, what I find
how
is
precious, how precious life is, and that life is priceless.
Right.
Right.
You see, there's no self pride, there's no self respect. You know,
right.
They barely have respect for whoever. There's raising them. It could be the mom. It could be grandmom. You know, this fatherhood thing is very, very important, especially for African-American.
Yeah, Tony's blinking out.
Yeah.
Hello? Hello?
I know
hey,
that.
Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tony, you're going in and out.
Yeah,
I'm
we
fading
can hear
in
you.
And out. I don't know what's wrong here. I think it's the connection. I have no idea, but we're going to keep this going. We got about a little roughly 15 minutes. I see a couple of other people on the line. I got a person on line 3. His number
Hello?
Starts with, or her number starts with 336-899-6941.
Hello?
That's out of North
Hello?
Carolina.
Yes. Can you,
yeah,
can
go
you
ahead.
Hear me? Hey, this
yeah,
is what you get from... Yeah, this is Eric Leggett from the Fathers with Voices program.
Okay.
Welcome.
Okay.
Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, welcome.
Good. Thank you. Thank you. I've been listening to the show, and I congratulate you guys. And fatherhood is very important, and my program represents the men that are trying to have a voice within the legal system. And you all
okay.
know that's a big problem amongst the African-American
yes.
people.
Right. Yes, it is.
This is my 15th year in June of service.
Okay.
For separated and divorced fathers, and thank God my program has and continues to be very successful in teaching men how to have a voice. This is a process that men have to learn.
Right on.
And my motto is, my new motto is don't ask for your rights, go and get them.
Right.
There's a big difference.
That's right.
So he's making a very important point because we do have.
Right on, brother.
You know, and that's what gets me is that it's such a struggle to change the mindset of men and get them to believe that they have rights. And that's been the eternal struggle for the past 15 years is getting men to believe that they have rights.
Right.
And we really have to continue to support those men that are in the trenches that's been blocked out of their children's lives. You know, I love what I do, but, you know, this is usually the busy season for me when a lot of interviewers will call me to talk about fatherhood. But this is a problem that should be talked about at least every month because we have so many African-American men that are dealing with this issue, not only having to deal with the system and their children's mother, but the number one obstacle for fathers right now is their own attorneys.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
So now they have another formidable obstacle to overcome. So I really wish that, in particular, African-American radio and media would really start to pay a little bit more attention to this problem, not just around Father's Day. I mean, because I know you see articles and you hear radio interviews about this subject around Father's Day, but this thing has to really be talked about a little bit more because we're getting more reports of men committing suicide that's involved in these court cases. And
let me say something right quick before you get off before you get offline.
Okay.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to my blog. I especially want you to get my personal email. But one of the issues that I want you to think about is this is we've learned this, and this is what my wife and I call learned helplessness. We've learned to be helpless. Okay.
Right. Right.
And another thought that I want you to just a thought, so that you'll challenge your belief system. This is just a system. Okay, I want us to get out of this thing of thinking that everything is racist, that it's the white man against us. It's not. This is a system.
It's a system. Thank you. I wish I could hire you.
This is a system. This is a system. You can. You can hire me. That's why I wanted. You can hire me. And we have a model. We have a model to change this thing. My wife and I have a model to change it. And I like what you said.
Mm-hmm.
It is time to take it back. And we have a model that we can take it back. You are on the right track. Velton mm-hmm. is on the right track. It
mm-hmm.
is time to take it back. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Calvin is on the right track. We are all on this line. It is time to take it back. We as black folk, after 400 years, it is time to take it back. Now, my wife and I have some plans and some action plans to take it back. We are tired of talking. Okay?
Right.
And we can't take it back. We cannot take it back as long as we keep saying, okay, we as black men have to take it back because we're black. Look, we have an army already ready to go, and they have blonde hair, blue eyes, yellow skin, red skin, and brown skin. And let me tell you, it is time for us to recruit everybody that we can recruit to take this thing back. Okay?
Exactly.
You're exactly right. And like I tell fathers all the time, and like I tell them all the time, I would not have invested 15 years of my life if I didn't think that fathers didn't have any rights. That's the first point. And then I said, well, look at it like this. Think about Jermaine Jackson's only hit in his whole life, which is don't take it personal.
Right.
Mm. It's personal because it's a money thing. It's a money thing.
Yes.
It's not a black thing. It's not a white thing. It's an economical thing. And with fathers, if I could break through that barrier, there's some fathers that get it, and then there's some fathers that just stay stuck at, you know, look what my daughter's mother did to me, and look at what the lawyer is doing to me. But there is power in empowerment, and that has been my motto.
Thank you.
for 15 years. That is extreme power. You're talking to a man that represented himself in a visitation case 10 years ago. I saved myself $2,000 in legal fees. Okay? If I can do it, anybody can do it. But without brothers, we are so stuck in fear. Black men fear the court system. And you fear the unknown. You fear the unknown, but when you know, you have no reason to fear.
Do you know why they fear it? One of the reasons why they fear it, they always feel that the court is on the woman's side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
a lot of men go through that. They feel like they favor the women, and I don't believe that.
No, it's not. I mean, I won custody of my daughter, thank God, in 2003. Okay, I was born in temporary custody. Custody in 2003. I was awarded full custody in 2005. The mother falsely accused me again, as if she didn't get the message the first time. When she did it the first time, it didn't work. She did it again in 2005, and I won another time in 2008. So you can't tell me that the system does not work. It's just that you got to know how to play the game.
Yeah, exactly right. It's a system.
Exactly. And brother, you probably weren't on the call when I was speaking, but I wanted to just pass on to you. You're exactly right. I had a Caucasian female judge grant me custody, but I was under the microscope for a year. And I told the story just quick that all I had to do was my attorney told me I needed to bring the kids down, let them evaluate them, bring the report cards, any letters or recommendations. I brought that. The judge said, let me see the report cards. She looked at the report cards and she said, I don't need to hear or see anything else. You got custody. You have full custody. You're a custodial parent. You take them on back to Baltimore. You get them registered there. So anything comes up, you will not have to come down here. And that, I mean, there are some other things involved in that, but I'm telling you, I wish I could have represented myself. I probably wouldn't have won, but I had to drop $16,000 on that. That was $16,000, but I was willing to do that.
Well, there's certain cases that you can't. Like custody, you shouldn't, because custody gets very, very complicated with the forensic evaluations and the testimonies and the things and the trials. That's not a case that you should represent yourself. But there are some cases that you can. And right now, what's killing fathers is listening to other men. Oh, man,
right,
you don't have a chance. You don't have a chance. This is what happened to me. I just helped a guy obtain his visitation rights. And he said, you know what? Through this whole process that I've been working with you, all these men have been telling me to quit. So black men have to stop playing this, excuse my language, they have to stop playing this punk role and making excuses that's not really there. Okay, yes, the system is hard. It's hard for everybody. That's why it's called the system. I mean, why it's called the system. You know, so, you know, I thank you guys for talking about these topics because, you know, our children need the fathers. I just had a conversation with my 17-year-old daughter who's about to date. And she said a young man asked her to go out on a date, and I'm teaching her, you just don't get in a car with a young man that you don't know.
Have you met him yet?
No, I have not.
Have you met him yet?
And I thought,
okay, well,
no, I have
you,
not.
He better
and
bring,
I
you bring
that,
him home.
Yeah, and I told her that. But you see, what I realize about a lot of today's young men that are not raised in a home with fathers, they don't understand protocol.
Exactly.
They don't understand protocol. You know, when I was a teenager, I barely made eye contact with the girl I liked if her father was around. These little young Thundercats would be bold enough to come and hug my daughter in front of me. And the only thing that saved them was that I was in church. If I wasn't in church in God's house, he'd have got the business. He really would have. He really would have. Because if you saw my daughter, you would know that that's my child. So I'm teaching her right now that if a young man does not respect your father, he is not going to respect you.
Exactly.
That's exactly right.
Exactly. Well, you know, we're going through it right now. I'm in my Cosby moments right now. So, you know, I'm in my Cosby and Theo moments. And so I don't have a Theo. You know what I mean? I have a girl.
Yeah.
But I'm in those Cosby moments, and I just told her, you know, I'm proud of her. She's an honor roll student since she was pretty much in the seventh grade. She's about to be a senior. She was nominated to be in the Honor Society. She dresses appropriately. But
thank you.
As with all teenagers, they have that little rebellious side in them, and you have to break them down. And I told her, you know, Daddy is doing this for your safety. You know, we need to start getting into telling our kids to watch the news so they can get to understand that this is not a safe world. Okay?
Yeah.
You know, there's nothing wrong with turning on the CNN for a half an hour, 45 minutes a day, because sometimes our kids, especially teenagers, they're in their own little world of, I want to have fun. I want to have fun. I want to go out. I want to have fun. But they don't think about the potential danger and the fun that they're trying to have.
Right.
That's what I'm always trying to... I like that.
You know,
I tell you what I did for mine. When she was your age, on a date, on her first date, he came over and he met Daddy. And here's what I did: I had a roll top desk, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And when he came over, I pulled open the roll top desk because I feel stripping that 9mm, okay.
Doc, you know what, you are best. Listen, gentlemen, I know I'm fading in and out. I don't know what's going on with the connection. We only have about 4 minutes left.
Okay.
I don't know if you can hear me or not, but we got about four minutes left. If you need to exchange any information as far as websites, emails, now.
Okay, my website is fatherswithvoices.info, INFO, and also my email address is Eric, ERIC, at fatherswithvoices.info, INFO.
Okay. Wait a minute. Eric, give it to me again. Eric at what?
fatherswithvoices.info, INFO. And in celebration of my 15 years, I'm giving away free copies of my book, Closing the Curtain on Baby Mama Drama, and motivational CDs and DVDs for men who decide to register for my program. It's all about empowerment. It's all about empowerment.
Okay.
So it's Eric at fatherswithvoices.info,
INFO.
Okay. I'll be getting on you here right quick.
All right. Now, thanks,
still
guys.
On the line?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you.
Hey, thank
is Reginald
you,
still on the
you.
Line?
Hey, Calvin?
Yeah, is Reginald still on the line?
Hit me up on Facebook. I need to get your number again, okay?
Okay.
Calvin, are
I'll
you there?
I'm still here, brother.
Listen, I want to thank you for coming on. I don't know if you guys can hear me because the connection has been bad. I don't know what's going on. But from what I heard, the show was great. I hope it was all recorded because I'm going to listen to it again. We're going to be in touch. Doc, you know I'm going to call you because we got some things we need to talk about and some things we need to do.
Okay.
Calvin.
Yes, sir. Did we lose? We lost Tony.
Yeah, we
must have
lost him again. Hey, Calvin.
You know, put our heads together and put a plan together. We only got about 60 seconds left. So before I sign off for tonight, I want to thank everybody again for being on the show. I may do this topic again. It may be a part two. I'll see what happens. But in the meantime, as always, this is Velton, president and founder of Enough is Enough, Save Our Children. Enjoy your weekend. Be safe.
That's right. You too. You too.
Yeah.
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 Okay.
inside is angelic. You can't keep living a lie, let it develop. Whose people shine nearly as bright? I can't tell it. My band's out 70 songs, it's like fellas. A heat wave like Martha in the Vandellas. The way it's going down in the world is scandalous. Folks visit the street and the New York top sellers. As we advance from rock sellers to rock sellers and drop some of the most popular acapellas. You got the lovers, the cold blooded soul brothers, asleep with our head on the pillow under the covers. How long will it take us to learn from one another? That respect is nothing to earn from one another. We can change how the world turn for one another. Let's show a little common concern for one another. Wake up.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more backward thinking. Time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There is so much hatred, war and poverty. Maybe sit there, listen to what you have to say. Cause everyone's too coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. And who gets all the hell? They don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Hey, to wake up all the buildings down to build a new land. So I know we can do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we gotta do is put it.
Soprano section.